Good morning. Good morning, church family. It's good to be here. It's good to be in the house. And gosh, God is really stirring some stuff. This word that I have prepared is certainly something that has shifted and has been stirring in me for some time. And I believe it's a word for the church, also for us as individuals. Sometimes you just want to stay, you know, in the presence of God, you know, chill out 30 minutes and then go home after a cup of tea. But we can't do that. We must carry on. But I believe that if we open ourselves up and desire to hear from God, desire to connect with Him, we open our hearts, we open our spirits, and He will. And I hope and I pray as a church that that is what we are doing as a collective, as a church, as Church at Waikiki, as Christians in this city. So I would love for you to do the whole service, but I feel like you'd probably get pretty tired. So you can sit down if you like, but you don't have to. No pressure. No, you can sit down. I'll get you back up soon. So just to start off, who here could say, just show of hands, that you've had a situation or situations in your life where you just saw the hand of the Lord so much on a situation. It didn't make sense in the natural, but it had to be God. It had to be the Lord. Yeah, that's pretty much every hand, which is good. It's just good. The title of this message, if you want one, is if the Lord. And I want to say that we are in a very exciting time as a church. We're in a very exciting time as a church because we have, as a church, been given a word, been given a mission, a mandate, a vision from the Lord. And that excites me. We've been given a mission to go into our communities, and be a light, and to see Jesus' name preached, and to see people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the mission that we have been given. I mean, hey, we're all given it, but I'm saying as a church, this is where we're at. And it's exciting because we're looking ahead. We're saying, Lord, what does this look like? And I want to say this, that the vision that Pastor Jono has been sharing over the past weeks, I want to say this, it's not Jono's vision, okay? It's not Troy's vision. It's not Lyle's vision. It is God's vision. And I think we need to understand that it's not some people deciding that this is a good idea, so let's just give it a go. It comes from the Lord. And that's what excites me. And I want to ask you, is it okay for a little bit I be really open and honest about some things? Is that okay? I'm not going to confess some horrible sin or something like that. I just want to be real about where I've been in the recent weeks, because I think that there is power in testimony. And I want you to know that I am human. Okay? I look like Superman. Just kidding. But I want to say this, and I'm bringing it back to some weeks ago, maybe the start of the year, and I was talking to Pastor Jono, and he shared with me what he felt, what he believed the Lord was talking to him about. And he shared with me about how he felt strongly that we're being called to, on a Sunday, our Sunday expression needs to be in the community. Okay, during the week, he talked about having a hub in the city, but on a Sunday, gathering in the community. And initially I was like, oh, yeah, okay, how's it going to look? How's it going to work? And I suppose I thought, oh, that's interesting. I kind of didn't understand how it would look. But he told me that he was, you know, that the eldership were praying over it and they were seeking God on it. And I thought, oh, okay, right, I'll see what comes of that. I suppose initially I was like, how's that going to work? And then I spoke to Jono, Pastor Jono, maybe 2-3 weeks later, and sat down and over a coffee, and he said, "This is where we're going. We've heard from the Lord. He said he knows it's God. The eldership have prayed. We're all in agreement that we know this is the Lord and this is where we're going. And I'll be honest. My response was like, oh, really? Like, I'll be honest. I was like, really? As worship pastors, I was thinking, I straight away looked in the natural and I thought, how are we gonna have three worship teams? What's that going to look like? How are we going to have three lots of music? Yeah, and I started looking at all these natural things that I could see as an inconvenience. If we're meeting in three locations, how often am I going to get to see Lyle? What if he's at one location? What if I never get to see him? And I started to think of, and I'm being honest with you because I want you to know that my initial response was probably a little bit negative. Maybe I'm a little bit ashamed to say it, but my response was negative because I looked at the natural things. I looked at the inconvenience. I looked at the reasons why I didn't think this was a good idea because I am the wealth of all knowledge and wisdom. And no, maybe I didn't think it was a good idea, but I guess I was challenged. I was really challenged, and I'm sure that many of us in here have been challenged. And so I knew that I had to find a way to align myself with God. And so I spent some time in prayer, and one morning I went out and I was walking along the Waihopai River track, and I was praying, and I was stirred up, and I went to war in prayer, and I was saying, Lord, I don't know why I'm so agitated about this. I don't know why I'm so focused on this. I don't even know how this is going to work. How are we supposed to? And I took it to the Lord. I had to take it to the Lord. And as I prayed, as I just went to God, and I said, Lord, I need to know. I need to know from you. I need to align my spirit with yours. I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, if the Lord is in it, if the Lord has spoken it, if the Lord has his hand upon it, then it will happen. We don't need to worry. And straight away, the weight of that I was caring about this, it fell off. And my mind shifted straight away from these natural, practical things that I couldn't get my head around and came into alignment with the Word of God. It came into alignment with, and I started to see what it was that the Lord was wanting to do. And I saw this picture of three congregations gathering on a Sunday, and I saw it filling, and I saw salvations. I saw it growing, not because we created some really cool thing, but because the Lord is in it, because it's His vision. And as I prayed, as I heard from God, it was a complete shift for me. It went away from me thinking of the natural, but to see in the spirit. And there was such a, and with that came such a sense of courage and like, okay, Lord, I get it now. It's from you. It's about you. And so with that, that shift that happened completely changed my way of thinking. And so for us as people, maybe some of us have had similar experiences. Maybe some of us are wondering about what this next step will look like. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this, says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We can have confidence in His Word. We can have confidence in His vision. We can have confidence in the purpose that He has given us. We don't need to worry about it just because we can't see it. As we put our faith and our trust in Him, that is what is asked of us. And so, as I was preparing and mulling over this Word over the recent weeks, I started to read through some of the Old Testament. And although many of us will know this story, we know in the book of Genesis that the Lord appeared, and we'll read through this, Genesis 12, verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. So build an altar there to the Lord. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So we know that there was a, there was a vision, there was a promise, there was a plan that God had for His people. And we read that back in Genesis. Genesis 15 verse 8 says again, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land. from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river, Euphrates, that one. Thank you. So we see this journey. We see this journey of a people who a promise was made. And so as we move through the Bible, we see that God's people ended up in Egypt. And you know, Egypt for a time was good. Egypt was a place of salvation for the Israelite people for a time. And they flourished and they prospered there until it wasn't anymore because God had a bigger plan. So we read through the book of Exodus and we read about this journey of God's people who he rescued and took them out of slavery in Egypt and towards what we refer to as the Promised Land. And so now as I researched this, I believe it was less than 2 years that the Israelite people had come out of Egypt, that they arrived at a place close to the land of Canaan, where the Lord said to Moses to send out 12 spies. Send out 12 spies to go and check out the place, the land that God was giving them. If we read in Numbers, this is in Numbers 13. 13 verse 1 says this. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out men for yourself to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel." So we see straight away, this is the place I'm sort of thinking about sending you guys to. This is the place that, you know, that could work out. It was, no, this is the place that I am giving the sons of Israel. So they knew this was God's plan and purpose for them. Then it says, "You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the sons of Israel. So we see this journey take place, and in Numbers 13, verse 17, for your reference, Moses sends them out. He sends them out with this mission. Go and check out the land. Go and see, yeah, what are the trees like? How fruitful is this place? What are the people like that live in the land? Are they strong? What are the cities like? Are they fortified cities, or is everyone sort of just living in a big sort of open camp sort of situation? So they were sent out to spy out the land. They spent 40 days looking at this place that God had for them. And they came back. And those of us who know the story will know that 10 of the 12 came back with a very negative report. 10 of the 12 spies came back, and all they could see was the natural. All they saw was that the people there were strong. They came back and they told the whole assembly that, oh man, that these guys are strong. We were like grasshoppers in their eyes. There's no way that we can beat them. And they managed to speak to the whole assembly and turn them away and cause a whole lot of people to lose faith. Because instead of knowing who God is, instead of knowing that they were sent, that God had already given this to him, they looked at all the reasons why it couldn't happen. They came back, they gave a bad report, and the people lost their faith and belief in God. They looked at the natural. They looked at their strength and compared it to that of those of the place where they were going to, and said, "No, this is not going to happen." And gosh, as a result, the people were so disheartened that they rebelled against the Lord, and they ended up spending 40 more years in the desert because of the unbelief. Man, that's such a huge cost. And I tell you what, church, I don't want to be someone who lacks faith. I don't want to be someone who discourages others. I don't want to be someone who is so focused on the natural things that I lose sight of what it is that God is doing. And to be honest with you, when I told you earlier on about when Pastor Jono shared that vision with me, that was me. I was sort of like one of the 10. But I had to go and I had to submit myself. I had to go into prayer so that I could bring myself in alignment with the Word of God. And how often do we look at the reasons not to do something for the Lord? How often do we say, man, I'd really love to get involved with that thing, with that area of ministry, but man, I just love sleeping on a Sunday. I couldn't see myself any here any earlier than 10:05. sorry, just a subtle dig for anyone who's late. No one here, of course. You know, how often do we say, "Man, I'd just love to. I'd love to go along to that whatever's happening." But you know, Coro Street every night. I just can't miss it. Is Coronation Street still on every night, Mum? You don't know. You've moved on. Praise God. Wow. Got too much. Yeah. Well, that's good. So I think what my mum is saying is, don't watch Coro Street. She's not saying that. You know, we can think to ourselves, man, I'd really love to go and invite that person to church, but man, I don't think they'd talk to me. I don't have the courage. I don't have the right way of approaching people. We look at all of the reasons not to do something. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough skills. Has anyone else ever been there? That's the I can't do it attitude. I tell you what. I could write a book on I can't do it. But actually, I don't actually think I could, actually, to be honest, because I don't think I could write a book. Because I'd write it, but I just can't. Those words, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, I'll tell you what, they appear in my mind a lot, and maybe in yours as well. But there is something about looking beyond the natural, looking beyond my limitations and knowing that this is of God, that this is something that I'm called to, this is something that I'm passionate about, and if the Lord has called me to it, then I'm going to do it. So, two men, two out of the 12, Joshua and Caleb, they saw something different when they went and spied out the land. They saw how good the land was. They saw that it was flowing with milk and honey. They did not look at the natural because they knew who their God was. And it says this, Numbers 14, verse 8. They said this. They stood up and said, If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. If the Lord is with us, if he has found favor, we don't have to worry because he's already got it sorted. Yeah, there's some battles to fight, but who's with us? The Lord is with us. What was different? They knew. Caleb and Joshua, they knew who God was. They knew the promise of God. They knew that God was with them. They put their faith in God, not on what they could see in the natural, but they knew who God was. They knew what God had called them to do. They trusted in his promises. They knew that it would come to pass, not in their strength, but in the Lord's. Not in their strength, but in the Lord's. We can do things in our own strength. We'll always find a reason why we can't do something or a reason why we're not good enough. But when we allow ourselves to just walk in his love and his grace and his anointing, that's when we can see a breakthrough in whatever area we're pushing into. So we look and we see that in the book of Joshua, which is 40 years after the Israelite people were in the wilderness, and a whole generation did not see the promise that God had for them because of unbelief. But in the book of Joshua, we read that they come to a point where they are ready to enter into the promised land, enter into the promise that God had for them. And as I read over it, something that really stuck out to me. They got to a point where they were about to cross over the river into the promised land. And in Joshua 3, verse 5, Joshua talks to the people, and he says this. He says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves. In other words, get ready. Prepare yourself. Set yourself apart. Make it an important part of your life. Devote yourselves. Get right with the Lord because tomorrow he is going to do amazing things among you. And I would And I feel like the Lord was saying today, church, consecrate yourselves. Get yourselves ready. Align yourself with Him because He wants to do great things among us. And us here, in this room, we are those people. We are those people who God has called. Go into the community. Go into the community. Go and see the lost saved. Go and love others. Go and share the biggest smile that you can at the pack and save counter. Go and love. Go and love. Because when we do that, we can know that this is what the Lord has called us to do. Where, as a collective, our faith and our willingness to walk in God's word and the vision that He's given us is so important. We can focus on the inconveniences. We can focus on the challenges. Maybe we might have to drive a little bit further on a... No, actually, no. We won't have to drive further on a Sunday morning. That's kind of part of the point, isn't it, Pastor Lyle? But maybe there will be some things that might seem as an inconvenience, but if the Lord has called us to this, if He has given us this mission, then we've got to get on board with that. We've got to do it. We've got to be part of this because if the Lord's in it, it's going to happen. If the Lord's in it, He's going to bless it. If the Lord's in it, the provision will be there. We don't have to worry. We just got to put our faith in Him and walk where He's called us to walk. Amen? So as a collective, as a church, I think we sort of understand what that means for us. But I wonder, as an individual, what does it look like for us? What does it look like for us? And as I was praying on this, about this word, there was a particular story in the Bible that really came to mind. In John 9, we see quite a long scripture about a man who was born blind. And there's a lot of things in the scripture, but the main thing I want to take away from it is this. Jesus came and saw this blind man. And we read in John 9, verse 6, it says this. It says that when Jesus came to this man who was blind, who had been blind his whole life, he did something pretty unconventional, spat on the ground, made some clay, and rubbed it and anointed the eyes of the blind man. Then he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Might have said that wrong, but I'm going with it. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Do you know, there is a lot. There is a lot in the scripture right here because this man with saliva and mud on his eyes had every excuse not to do what Jesus said for him to do. But he went and washed and he came back seeing. He went and washed and he received a miracle. Do you know, I looked it up and what I saw was the pool that Jesus sent him to wash in was approximately about 800 meters away. Okay, could be wrong, but 800 meters. Now, 800 meters may not seem like a long distance, but when you are blind, I feel like it would be. Not only that, it was a particularly busy time, which meant that there were crowds of people everywhere. So the man, we understand that to get to a place where he could receive his healing, he had to walk a long distance. He had to weave his way through people. I don't quite understand how he did it, but we know that he went, we know that he washed, and we know that he received his sight. He had every excuse in the natural not to do this. What do you mean, Jesus? I'm blind. I can't walk that far. What, there's too many people. There's crowds, but I'll never make it. He could have allowed his natural circumstances to hold him back from receiving his miracle. But we don't know how, but he walked. He walked and he walked until he followed the word of the Lord. He could have said to, he may have said to himself, man, this sounds like about the most silly thing I've been told to do in a long time. But there must have been something within him that said, if the Lord has asked me to do this, then I need to do it. If the Lord has sent me, then I need to go. Whether I think I can do it or not, I'm going to do it because I want to receive the miracle that Jesus has for me. So, okay, I'm going. And as he went, as he walked in faith, as he walked in a trust because the Lord had told him to go, he washed and he received his sight. Now, how life-changing would that have been? A man who had been blind his whole life and was changed, healed by Jesus. Man, Isn't that a picture of us as His people, where we know that we feel called to do something? We know we feel called to step out in an area of our life. We know that there are people who the Lord has been putting on our heart to go and connect with. But we find the reasons. We find the reasons why not. We find the excuses. We make up every reason. I'll do it next week. I'm too tired this week. We know it because we all do it. But if we know it's of the Lord, and we just walk and we just do it, hey, we've got to trust and know that He is with us. Because if the Lord has sent us, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, He will be with us and it will happen. And this man received his sight. This man's life was changed, and was actually, if we read the story, we know there was quite a bit more to it. But many people saw that this man's life had been changed. Man, I want to be someone who is bold enough to go where the Lord sends me. And I can tell you, I can tell you that there are things that challenge me. There are things that challenge me. Being here before you is not an easy thing. It's not easy to stand up. It's not easy to step out for the Lord. But when He has called us to it, if He's called us to it, we've got to do it, church. We've got to do it. I would actually like to invite Kai back up, if that's okay. Play some keys. Those of us who have read through the Old Testament, one of my favorite stories, Gideon. Now, Gideon, the story of Gideon happens in the book of Judges, and we read and we understand that this was a time where the Israelite people were oppressed. They had been taken over by the Midianite people. There was famine in the land. It was not a good time for the Israelite people, and they called out. They called out for God to save them. And so the Lord appeared to Gideon. And Judges 6, verse 14, says this. And the Lord looked at him, this is Gideon, and said, "Go in the strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Go in the strength and save Israel from the hand of Midian." What did Gideon say? "O Lord, how am I to save Israel? My family, they are the least in the land, and I'm the least in my father's house. I'm a nobody from a family of nobodies. How could you possibly call me to this, Lord? How could you call me to this?" In the natural, Gideon saw himself as so small and insignificant, and maybe in the eyes of the world, he was. Certainly in the eyes of himself, he was. But the Lord said to him, "I will certainly be with you, and you will defeat Midian as one man. I will certainly be with you." Gideon's initial response was, "Man, I can't do this. Lord, why are you choosing me? I don't have the skills. I don't have the right reputation. I don't have the experience. I don't have the time to do this." But the Lord called him to do a great thing. Gideon saw himself as small, but the Lord saw him as a mighty warrior. You know, I think when God looks at us, we might see ourselves as small, but He sees mighty warriors in this room right now. Mighty warriors who are going to do amazing things for the kingdom of God. Will we stand up and be that? Will we allow ourselves to be a mighty warrior? You see, in the story of Gideon, as we see it, we actually see that he gathers an army of, I think it started off at about 20,000, 10,000, I can't remember the exact numbers. What we see is that the army they ended up fighting, the Midianites, was 300. Because the Lord whittled it down to 300 men. Not so that the army could defeat the Midianites in their strength, but so they could defeat them in the Lord's strength. We can always look at the things that we think are not good enough, the skills that we think we don't have, the time that we think we don't have. But if the Lord has called us to it, if He's put a word on our heart, We just got to do it. We just got to step out in courage and do it, and we can see and know the hand of God on our lives. We read in the book of Matthew that we read about Peter in the book of Matthew. We see the situation where the disciples they went out ahead of Jesus on a boat, and while they're on the boat, we see that the storm came, the wind and the waves battered the boat. In the natural, all they could see was the rain and the wind and the waves. And I can tell you what, I would last 30 seconds on that, wouldn't I, Cleo, before I was possibly needing to lean over the side and a little bit of vomit. So I know for me that would be an absolutely worst case scenario that I could picture. The only thing that would make it work is if sharks were in there. They probably weren't because I was late, but I'm just saying, I'm just adding that. But however, as they were on the boat and as the wind and the waves and the rain and in the natural are quite a scary situation, they saw this Jesus walking. They didn't recognize it as Jesus, but Jesus came walking towards them. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, it is I." And so we see in Matthew 14:28, Peter responded to him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And it says that Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Wow. When he saw the wind, when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked back at the wind and the waves and the rain, he became afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." But immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and called him, "You have little faith, why did you doubt?" See, we can be like Peter, and we can look around and we can see the wind. We can see the waves, we can see the rain, and we can ask ourselves, "Lord, how's this going to work? How's this going to work? In the natural, everything's against me. It doesn't make sense." But yet, we know that Jesus is there. And as Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, if this is of you, Lord, if you are there and you say so, I will step out of this boat. I will step out of this boat and walk on water." And as he stood out, he walked across the water to meet Jesus. Man, what a life-changing encounter that Peter must have had that day when he walked on the water towards Jesus. When he took his eyes off the Lord, focused on the natural things, he started to sink. But as soon as he called out for the Lord, he was there. Isn't that a picture of our walk, church? We have challenges in life. I don't know of anyone in life who has not gone through challenges. I don't know of anyone who doesn't at times fear what the future would look like. I don't know anyone who gets a word from God and goes, "Yeah, that's easy, I'll do it." Often it's not like that, right? Anyone agree? But we know that if we step out, that if it's from the Lord, no matter what our circumstances look like, we got to step out and walk because he will be there with us. Can we stand this morning, church? The book of Zechariah tells us it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit. But by the Spirit. We don't have to have it all sorted out. Isn't that good? We don't have to have all the resources. We don't have to have all the finances. We don't have to have all the skills. We don't have to have all the courage. All we need is, "Yes, Lord, I'm going. Yes, Lord, I'm stepping out. Yes, Lord, my faith is in you because I know this is of you." So I want to ask you this morning, church. I want to ask you, what has the Lord been speaking to you about lately? What has he been speaking to you about? Where is he calling you to step out? To step out in faith in some way. Where Where have you been so focused on your natural circumstances, the inconvenience, the things that you doubt, that you've forgotten that it is of the Lord that has spoken to you? Because if the Lord has called you to it, then what will be your response is my question. If you know that He is calling you to something, if He is challenging you on something, if He has asked you to step into something, if there's a person that He's wanting you to connect with, if you know that's of the Lord, then I want to ask, what will your response be? What will your response be? Will you stand back and allow the circumstances around you to define what you do? Or will you step out and say, if the Lord has called me to it, if this is from Him, I'm not going to be worried about what's happening in the natural because I trust in Him. I trust in His provision. I trust in His equipping. I trust in His word. I trust in His promise. You may not have the finances to take that step of faith that you're feeling called to do. You may not believe what it takes to be involved with that area of ministry or to go and minister that person. You may not feel like you have the courage to invite that person to church. But if the Lord's in it, He'll be with you. If the Lord is in it, He'll be with you. If He said it, if He's prophesied it, if He's declared it, if He's given it to you, then it will happen. Let's close our eyes and pray. And if you're here this morning, and as I've been speaking, there's been something stirring within your spirit. There's been that stirring of knowing that you are called to take a step in some way. And you'll know what that is. I don't know what it is. You'll know what that is. And maybe you haven't taken that step. Maybe the natural circumstances have held you back. Maybe you've kept your eyes on the wind and the waves and the storm and you haven't been able to see Jesus in front of you yet. I want to believe in faith with you as we pray together that you'll be able to step out. That there will be, Lord, and I pray right now, Lord, for everybody who you've put something on their spirit right now, Lord, that you have called us into something new, something bigger. Lord, something that in the natural, we can't see how it's going to work. In the natural, we might see reasons not to do it, but Father, I break down every distraction, every limitation that would come against your people today, right now, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the courage, Lord, the courage to step out into that thing which you are calling us into. Lord, I thank you for everybody here who has friends and family members and co-workers on our hearts that we know that we need to invite them to church. We know that we need to talk to them about you. Lord, but we've lacked courage. Father, I pray right now for the courage to step out and make that connection. Lord, to be bold in our conversations with them. Lord, that you equip us. Lord, even that you would give us the words. And Lord, I pray for those who are feeling drawn to step into an area of ministry, an area of serving, an area, Lord, where you are calling them to use the gifts that you have given them. Lord, and Lord, I pray those distractions, those reasons we come up with, Lord, that would fall away in your name. Father, I pray for the courage to step out and know that if the Lord has called us, if the Lord has sent us, if the Lord has spoken to us, Lord, that we can walk in that with boldness and with courage to know that you walk with us, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you for provision. I thank you for financial provision. Lord, I thank you for the doubts that they would disappear in your name. Lord, that the I can't do it and the I'm not good enough will have no place in our thinking. Lord, but we would keep our eyes on you and know that we are called of you, we are equipped of you, we are anointed of you. And Lord, I pray that together as a church, Lord, we could take a hold of everything that you have with it and pursue it with passion and with boldness. Thank you, Lord.
fantastic. It was a great message, wasn't it? Fantastic. I'm going to invite the music team to come. We're going to close in a moment with a song. But I think there's some homework for some of us this morning. I think what Troy touched on in his personal journey.